What's going on? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with Jeremiah Stringer. Did you just see me knock my microphone sideways just now?
No.
I literally took my thumb and it did this right here. Just
he's a professional, folks.
Yeah, professional failure. So Jeremiah, last episode, we talked about the perfect tent.
Yes.
And I think we came up with the perfect tent.
I think so, too. And we still haven't sold the design to anybody, so if you're still out there looking.
No, but we've gotten phone calls.
Yes, many phone calls.
In the last 15 minutes since we recorded that. Like, we haven't even published it yet, and people heard about it. It was crazy.
That's right.
So, Jeremiah, I want to talk about, since we talked about the perfect shelter, I want to hit another one of the big three today.
Yes.
And I want to talk about the perfect sleep system.
Oh, there's a lot of options out there, dude.
Yeah, and we'll take it from the aspect of tents, because what we can do is, at some point in the near future, we can just talk about the perfect hammock setup.
Yeah.
And that'll hit everything. But the perfect sleep system in a tent. So let me ask you, have you ever had a bad night's sleep in a tent?
Yeah, I think I've had almost every night.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same place. You know, I was talking to Dan Becker. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not. He's a small little YouTuber out there.
Small YouTube channel.
He's barely known by anybody. Mm-hmm. But when I was talking to Dan, you know, Dan went from a hammock to tents.
Yeah.
And he actually sleeps better in tents than he does in hammocks.
Maybe he's figured out the system.
Well, you know what he told me.
What did he say?
This is literally what he said. And he said in videos too, but he said, I just try to make how I sleep in a tent as close to how I sleep at home as I possibly can.
It's good advice.
Yeah. And so my question is, how do we do that? How does Jeremiah Stringer, the king of Kentucky backpacking, and John Kelly, the sidekick, come up with a great sleep system that allows for that? You still can't get over the whole sidekick thing, can you?
First of all, we're totally equals. And John is a way better producer than I am. You do fantastic.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to say, at home, I have a king-size bed, all right?
Oh, I'm jealous of that, man.
Well, it's not by choice. Everything was perfectly fine. Aunt Bridget, if you're listening, I love you. One time, I went on a trip, and I came back, and there was a king-size bed in our bedroom. There was no discussion.
It was a surprise.
It was a surprise. It was a expensive surprise. What a great way to say thank you with such a awesome gift. Now, I am happy. Every time I get in and I'm like I took a nap yesterday. And okay. I was thankful.
Can I tell you a little history of why I don't have a king-size bed?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And what's really funny about it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So, remember the days when you were dating and engaged?
Oh.
And for you, for Bridget, for myself, Rhea, the constant, like, fairy tale stuff that the ladies want, you know? Yes. The perfect wedding, the perfect this, the perfect that. They want all these things to be, like, just amazingly, like, storybook, you know?
Well, they've been imagining it since they were little girls.
Exactly, exactly. And so my wife, now wife, back then girlfriend, she had a queen-size bed.
It's big enough.
And she was like, I don't want a king-size bed. And I was like, why wouldn't you want a king-size bed? She goes, you'll be too far away.
Oh.
Fast forward, September 6th, 2014, the wedding day.
Yeah.
We get to our cabin that we're staying in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, for the honeymoon. We have a king-size bed.
Oh, man.
And it was glorious.
Yeah, you're not sweating all over each other.
It was glorious. And by the end of that week, at this point, we've already got the bed. We've already got all the things. We're not buying another bed at this point.
Are you talking about moving into the house together and
starting
life?
Yeah, and we've already got everything because we're married now. Like, she's already got everything into the house. You know, she just looks at she goes, this is so weird. You're so far away. You're so far away. I'm like, yes, but I'm going to promise you inside of about a month, you're going to wish I was far away. Now, let's fast forward to after the honeymoon. We get home, the very first night in the bed.
Yeah.
She's fighting with the covers. I'm fighting with the covers. We're right up against each other. It's getting too hot. You know, all this kind of stuff. And then two nights later, she just looks at me. She goes, we should have got the king bed.
Oh, she's right. I'm she like, knows.
Yeah. You think? So, so the only reason we don't have a king size bed is because my wife was being all romantic and I don't want you to be that far away. Listen, I'm okay with being far away when I sleep.
Yeah, you want a good night's rest.
Yeah, man. Like, it's so funny because it, if you ever seen the drawings of like the husband and wife in bed together,
no,
there's a bunch of these, right? And yeah, like it's always like it shows like the bed and the coverage of the bed and the size of the bed. And then it shows a line that goes about three quarters of the way across the bed, and it says wife. And then it shows this little strip on the far side that says husband. That is my situation.
Is that your life?
Man, there are some nights I go in to get in bed, and Rhea's passed out.
Yeah.
Because I snore. You know this. You've heard it.
Yeah.
And so she goes to bed before I do. That way I can guarantee she gets some sleep.
Yeah.
So I go to bed, and her arm is on my pillow. Like draped across my pillow.
Do you see her and say, "Oh, I don't want to disturb
her"? No, I move her arm.
Throw it out of the way.
I used to try to be like quiet and not bother her and all this stuff. And then I realized she doesn't wake up when I do this. So now I get in and I just push her whole body over and I get in bed.
Bridget does that to me in the middle of the night. And then the next morning she'll wake up and she'll be like, "So, sorry about last night. You're scrouging me, you know? I felt crowded," and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "You don't remember this morning, like 3 a.m., I just took my legs and just pushed your whole body to the other side of the bed?" I'm like, "Nope, didn't wake me up whatsoever."
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so funny how many nights I get in bed, and my wife is literally practically laying where I would lay in bed.
I like the very middle of the bed. I like laying... You know,
I like my side. I like I don't need
a little sliver.
I don't need the whole half of a bed, but I at least need a third of it. And and so like when I go to get in bed, I want a cold pillow.
Yeah,
I do want a cold pillow.
Don't want her hot arm laying on your
pillow. Yeah, so I got a hot arm. And here's the other thing about my wife when she goes to sleep.
Yeah,
I think that she has a temperature control that she doesn't have any control over. But the moment it gets after 10 p.m. at night. Mm-hmm. Her body temperature goes up to like 1,000.
Like, I believe that.
She is an electric blanket for the whole bed. Like, burns the place up. And so, like, if she puts her arm on my pillow, my pillow's going to be hot.
Have you checked out any of Andrew Huberman's content?
No, but it sounds like I need to.
He's a doctor.
Okay.
And he's got a podcast and YouTube content and stuff. And... I've watched a number of his videos where they're basically just clips of him talking about different things. And the ones I've watched in particular, he's talking about sleep and like your circadian rhythm and how to have restful sleep and what your day should look like and blue light in your eyes and these triggers.
Right.
Yada, yada, yada. He said that before bed, you know, ice baths are becoming a huge thing. And
that sounds
saunas.
Horrible.
Now, I'm not saying use that before bed, but I'm saying like there are ice baths and saunas and like heat treatment and heat shock proteins and blah, blah, blah. All this stuff has become very popular. And he's talking about how it's kind of counterintuitive that you would want to heat up before bed because I could be getting this wrong, so make sure you do your own research. But your body needs to expel.
Yeah, if you're listening or watching... Sue him, not the podcast. This is Jeremiah Stringer Hikes. That's his YouTube channel.
I'm not a doctor.
He has an LLC. You can sue the LLC.
Yeah, I won't be held personally liable. But I'm telling you, dude, your body needs to get rid of all that heat. And you cool so many parts of a degree or full degree or whatever while you're sleeping. So it's not abnormal for you to get into bed and then you're like, "Man, my wife's body is burning me up."
Yeah.
Because your body's trying to get rid of that heat because it needs to cool down for your sleep. That's why like you can get smart thermostats and like set it to 4 degrees cooler at night or whatever. Yeah, because your body, it needs to expel the heat.
All I know is my wife must be expelling a lot of heat.
Yeah, she's the heater.
Holy cow, man.
I will tell you, you're talking about the bed sizes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll get into the sleeping pads in just a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But whenever I was in high school, you know, living with my parents, the bed I had was my hand-me-down. And I kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but the bed stayed the same. It was a twin size bed.
The bed didn't grow with you?
The bed did not grow whatsoever.
Man, that's a cheap bed.
They weren't buying a new bed. I finally just got too big for the bed.
Yeah.
But about the same time, it's time to go to college. And I don't know if you've been in a college dorm room lately, but they're about 11 feet by, 16 feet. So if you're going to put two people in there, you need twin-size beds.
Can you show that picture to, like, our audience so they can see what comes up every time you get a phone call? We're sitting here, and all of a sudden that comes up, and I'm, like, dying.
Oh, that's my lock screen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Bridget said that. She said it the day I was buying that truck out there.
Oh, very nice.
It's been the same ever since.
Very nice.
So, anyway, I go to college, and we're in this little dorm room, and it's a twin-size bed. My feet hang off. And then I move into a little college apartment, a little like suite style. You share a common area, but you have separate bedrooms, separate bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Full size bed furnished in there. I'm making upgrades. Now, keep in mind, Bridget's my high school sweetheart. We went to different colleges, but we moved into this suite together. So for the first time, we were able to stay at the same spot, have a full-size bed, sleep. We had separate bedrooms, but slept in the same bed. Both of us in this little full-size bed. Now, mind you, if she came over for a weekend whenever I was a freshman in college, both of us, twin-size bed. I don't know if you can even imagine that. I don't even fit in a twin-size.
I was going to say, back, man,
The things you do when you're 18, dude.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Of course, when I was a freshman in college, I did not weigh what I weigh currently. So
it's a different life.
You and I went different directions. You were like the 300-pounder as your freshman in college.
Yep.
I was the 170-pounder the freshman year of college.
We diverged.
We have. We crossed paths and passed each other.
So
two strangers in the night.
So I don't know how we fit, in these twin-size beds. And then the full size. And then I remember we got a little house. We started renting a house in Bowling Green, going to college our senior year, driving to campus, no longer living this college dorm lifestyle.
Right.
We're upgrading to our big boy pants. We're about to start our big boy jobs, graduate. And I remember we didn't have a bed. We just bought a box springs and a mattress from like a furniture store and threw it on the ground in this little house that we're
little. Didn't 12. Even go to like a Goodwill and try and find a frame.
No. Well, eventually, I drove to a thrift store, like these little, what are they called? It's like a flea market.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw on Craigslist that they were trying to get rid of this used furniture set. And I drove to this like thrift shop or whatever and got us a full mismatched bedroom suit. But we got a queen size bed, got upgraded from the floor. And I was like, man, this queen size bed versus that little twin size I was on 2 years ago, this is a different world. And then I come home and then I have this king size bed. I don't know how much bigger it gets.
You know, I'm going to relate this to sleeping pads.
All right, go ahead.
Because my first sleeping pad was a self-inflatable one that was maybe 3/4 inch thick.
Oh, good Lord.
That was my first sleeping pad.
How thick's a mattress? Like 6 inches, 8 inches?
You talking about a real mattress?
Yeah, like 15 inches. 15 inches?
15 inches is like a lot of your mattresses nowadays.
Good Lord.
And yeah, the ones that are new, the new ones are coming out are typically around 15 inches.
Yeah.
So this thing was not even an inch thick. So that was my first one. And it was like thin too. It barely fit my body. It's what I took with for Kilimanjaro.
Yeah. And what do you think the weight was on that one?
Probably 3.5-4 pounds.
Well, self-inflating.
Yeah. And it was made out of like probably 40D denier, you know.
This wasn't the Neo Air gray one that.
This was probably Ozark Trail.
Oh, that's the Walmart.
You know,
Walmart
like,
special.
Yeah. It was not like. A world-class sleeping pad. Uh-huh. So I went from that to the Therm-a-Rest Z-Pad.
Oh, that's like the foldable.
The closed cell foam. So I went to that. I slept one night on that, and I never did it again.
You don't even blow that one up, dude. It's just a piece of foam.
It's horrid. yeah. People who sleep on that, I don't get it. It doesn't work for me. So then I go from that to the Nemo Tensor.
Oh, dude, that's like going... You're that's ascending like going to
from,
heaven.
That's like going from driving a Hyundai to driving a Lamborghini. I mean, it's literally what that is.
It's what it feels like.
It does. And it's the one before everybody else started buying them.
Okay.
So it's a different valve system. It was before they did the R ratings the way they do them now. It was called the 20R, and it was made for 20. It was a 20-degree sleeping pad.
Okay.
Is what it was. So had that one. Then I moved up to the Sea to Summit. Oh, I can't remember what the name of the pad is, but it was good. It was a 25-inch pad because the
25 inches wide.
25 inches wide.
That's good.
And it was 6 feet long, 72 inches. Because I'm not as tall as you, so I don't need the extra long one. So I could save a few ounces there.
Yeah.
And then I went from that one. Oh wait, I forgot one.
Yeah. What's in between?
It was a Big Agnes sleeping pad that I did before the Nemo, and it sprung 3 leaks in the first day on the Shell Toy Trace.
Gotta get rid of that.
Got rid of that. Got my money back, and that's when I got the Nemo Tensor. Then I went from that to the Sea to Summit. I went from the Sea to Summit then to this Big Agnes one that I'm using now. Which one is it? I hate the names of these pieces of gear nowadays.
Hard to keep track of it.
But I'm using a Big Agnes now. It's like 3.5-4 inches thick, 25 inches wide, and it's comfortable.
Yeah, dude, the thicker sometimes isn't always more comfortable, but there is a threshold that you want to be above.
Yeah.
Because some of them are so thin that even if you inflate them, like you still, when you
your
roll.
Your hip's going to be in the ground. Yeah, your shoulder's going to be in the ground. It's going to be uncomfortable. You get pressure points.
The ultralight community, I found, really loves those closed cell foam pads.
Oh, goodness. But they're heavy.
They throw like a tarp up. And then that little closed cell foam pad, and throw that on the ground, well, and you're good to go.
The thing is, the Thermarest Neo Air Uber Light is lighter than those.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like 8 ounces.
You know, Jonathan Slider brings one of those Z Light or whatever they are as like a luxury item and puts it under his pad.
Now, that would be great in the wintertime.
Yeah. Add some extra R value.
Add some major R value. Yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't want to have to fork out the cash for a really cold weather pad.
Yeah, because you can spend $300 on just the pad.
$250-$300. Yeah, it's real easy.
It's ridiculous.
So okay, so if we're gonna make the perfect sleeping pad.
Wait, I didn't get to tell you my sleeping pad evolution.
Oh, tell me your sleeping pad evolution then.
Okay,
I'd like to hear it.
I started off also with a self-inflating. I don't have as many pads as you, so mine's gonna be shorter. Okay, I borrowed a self-inflating NeoAir pad, the gray one, and you know, you open the valve, it self inflates, and you blow it the rest of the way up. Okay, now my very first trip, my pad was non-existent, didn't bring one, and was gonna bring a yoga mat to go in my hammock.
Now that won't be heavy at all.
It was heavy. I bought it from Walmart. I still have it. It's at the house in the bedroom. Sometimes still do a little stretching yoga on it.
Oh,
still
yeah, useful. Yeah, yeah,
but. Yeah, I borrowed that other one, and that was my first actual, like, you could go to REI and buy that pad as a real backpacking pad. Wasn't thick enough. They're only like a half inch thick. It's not thick enough, even fully inflated. So then I said, you know, I need a fat pad. So I went on Amazon, $60, a knockoff NeoAir X-Lite, and that's the yellow ones that are really popular. And it was non-insulated. And I went on a trip that it got down to like 40 degrees. It was actually, you know what Cumberland Falls on the Sheltowee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you pass Cumberland Falls and you keep going.
You got that shelter up so 5 miles down the trail.
Before the shelter. So this is like 3 miles past the falls.
Yeah.
You can make a right and go to Dog Slaughter Falls.
Yes.
Or you
yes.
can keep going on the Sheltowee. Well, we camped.
You know where the name for Dog Slaughter Falls comes from?
Where? Somebody told
Finish
me.
Finish your thing and I'll tell you the story.
Okay. So we camped on like a little sandy beach area down there, and it got down to like 40 degrees, and we're like close to the water. You're only, what, 100 feet away from the water or whatever? I mean, it's very close. And I was cold. It was very cold with no insulation. It's 40 degrees outside on that sand. And I said, yep, this pad is not going to work for me. So then I got the NeoAir X-Lite. And I used that the whole time on the long trail, and it did good. But it sounds, you know, people say it sounds like the Lay's chip bags.
Yeah.
And it does.
Big time.
It didn't. Big it time. Never woke me up from the sound of it, like rolling around at night or anything. But it is a little bit annoying. But the R value's fine. It was good. So I got to the point where I was like, this thing is only, I don't like the taper. So I don't know how wide it is at the top, maybe 22 inches or so.
Yeah.
It tapers down to like 18 inches. But your feet, you'll wake up, especially, it's so hard to find the perfect place to sleep in the woods. And you will sometimes, your sleeping pad will slide. Or it won't slide, but your feet will slide off the pad. And since it's tapered, that gives you less room for error for your feet sliding off. You wake up and your feet are cold and you're like, whew, you know, and then you're trying to warm your feet back up and it's 4 a.m. and you're just mad. So I said, I got to get rid of this tapered action on this bad boy.
Yeah.
So I got me the Nemo Tensor Alpine version.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What I was really
That's like what, a 4.5 or 5
it's R value? It's higher. Like, I've never gotten cold on it. But, yeah, I like it because it's a full rectangle. There's no taper, but it is like maybe 20 ounces or so, 26 ounces, because I got the long wide version. I'm of the strong belief that 25 inches, that right there should be minimal for kind of what I'm going on the sleeping pad situation.
Yeah. I'm looking up your pad right now as we speak to find out what ahead. The R value is on it.
I'll tell you what I really wanted.
4.8.
4.8.
Yep, 4.8.
So fairly high.
I was close
high.
To that 4.55.
I really wanted the NeoAir X-Therm.
So that's, oh, yeah, that's like a 6.
Yeah, that's very high. And Jason's got one, but it tapers. And Hunter, you remember I'd done that section of Sheltoe that I referred to earlier
yeah.
with Hunter, and he had the rectangle version of the X-Therm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. But I never could find the long wide version. Or if I did, I was going to have to pay out of pocket. And
it's a lot of money, too.
Yes. And at the time, I had a deal with Backcountry where I had a gear budget. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to wait until they have it. But they never had it in stock. Like, it's always sold out. I don't know if they
it's popular.
I don't know if it was just that popular or they just didn't stock enough of them, or maybe the stars never aligned for me and I wasn't on there when they had it or yeah, right. what. But I was too cheap. I was like, if I can get this, I'm already working on these videos and, you know, I'm working in exchange for this gear. Why am I going to pay out of pocket if I'm putting in the time and logging the hours to pay for the gear anyway by making the videos?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I pay an extra $200 or $300
right.
out of pocket? You know, that's cutting into
especially
my
when you got a pad that actually is really warm.
Yeah, so it's been fine for me, but
and you sleep cold.
Yeah, I sleep cold.
So that's impressive. Like, if that's good for you, that's going to be good for most people.
Because
I can tell you, if you're watching or listening, Jeremiah gets cold when it gets cold.
Yeah, one thing I can do though to help with that is a full sleeping bag with a hood.
Because yeah.
I prefer a quilt, actually.
I do, too.
And I'll put, like, a beanie on or a down hat or something. But, yeah, if you go with the full zipped-up sleeping bag, you're going to sleep warmer because there's no drafts.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm actually in the hunt for a new down beanie. I've had the same one since 2018.
Who makes the one that you have?
Some lady in Oregon, I think.
Some random lady.
Yeah, I bought it off of her on Facebook Marketplace.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know who. I can't remember who. It was literally 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to get a new one that's a little bit bigger.
Have you tried Outdoor Researches?
Yeah, but I didn't know if anybody else had any better ideas.
Yeah,
oh, and by the way, I did
okay.
look up those two sleeping pads.
Which ones?
The ones that I had. Uh-huh. The Sea to Summit was the Etherlite XT.
Okay.
And the other one is the Big Agnes Repeat SL. So those are the two sleeping pads I had. I also have the Etherlite winter pad. It's massive.
Like, it's, is it heavy?
It packs like this big. It's huge. But it's got like a 6.5.
There's your winter pad.
R rating. But Dan, who we talked about earlier, Dan Becker, he's not a fan of it.
He said
it got a little cold in it.
With a 6 plus R rating?
He doesn't believe the R value is true.
Well,
so
yeah, that is a kind of a gray area.
Yeah. So okay, so we've covered a lot of pads here.
Yeah.
What would you consider to be the perfect sleeping pad?
It's got to be thick enough that I'm not going to feel the ground, but and firm enough, but also soft enough that you can sink into it a little bit. So I'm going to say probably 3.5 inches thick.
Or four.
Four is fine, too, depending on how heavy it is.
3.5, 4 inches, somewhere in that area. Yeah.
And how wide do you think it should be? So I'm leaning toward 30-plus inches.
I'm saying 30. Yeah, I was going to say 30 inches, which is starting to become a thing now.
Yeah, but with two people, I don't know if you can get away with it. Unless you
sleep in a tent with anybody on purpose.
Well, with my wife, but your wife.
My wife's never going to get in a tent with me.
Maybe a camper. Y'all get a king-size bed.
I can't afford a camper when I do a camper. It's not even I can't afford a camper. It's I can't afford to afford a camper.
Yeah.
Because it's like you double and triple your cost for a camp trip.
It's not just the camper.
No, it's
you
got
to have a truck to pull it.
We got to have the hookup. You got to pay for the electric and water and stuff. And
yeah,
I'm good. I'm good. I'll stick with tents.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the sleeping pad, we're talking soft.
Soft.
3.5, 4 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
30 inches wide. I'm guessing we'd have to say 78 inches long to cover for tall people.
Yeah.
So, and the weight would be right around what?
It has to be under...
Under 2 pounds.
Oh, for sure under 2 pounds. I was leaning more toward like that maybe 24-ounce range, a little bit less. 20 is a good happy medium, I think.
Yeah.
Around 20 ounces
now,
would be...
Now, 30 inches wide, that's going to be hard.
I know. That's the problem is the weight.
Because your denier's going to have to come down.
Yep.
Something's going to have to cost. Someone's going to have to cover that.
Yeah, and you're having to insulate inside. So that I don't know what the R value should be, but I'm saying something above probably 5 if you want it to be 4 seasons.
And are we going to say quilt or sleeping bag?
Well, I would do both, but it depends on the season and the circumstance.
You know what I would like?
What's that?
Nobody makes it, but I wish they did. I wish somebody made, and I think Zenbivy is close, but a sheet that covers your pad that connects to your quilt, but they use these weird toggles for theirs. If somebody could create one that snaps, where you could just like snap it into place so that it holds the quilt down, but you also have that sheet under you so you're not laying on the pad, so it feels like you're sleeping in a bed.
Yeah.
I think if you could make that, you know, do like a 950 fill power down on it. So it's super lightweight.
Oh, yeah.
Do like a 10 denier nylon on the outside. Because how many people outside of you with the hot hands has ever really cut or burned their sleeping bags?
Well, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Yeah, it doesn't happen typically.
Yeah.
So if you could do like a 10 denier nylon with a 950 fill, and you could make it something that can snap into the fabric that's going around your sleeping pad and keep that weight under 2 pounds.
Yeah, but here's my problem with the snaps. Like, I've had snaps on different products. And, like, if it's your foot box of your quilt, and, you know, you can unsnap it to make it a blanket, basically.
Yeah.
If you wanted to. They come unsnapped too easy.
Well, it would have to be done well. But I think anything's better than toggles. And I don't want to do zippers because zippers are too heavy.
Yeah, it would add too much weight probably.
Yeah, so I can't think of anything better. I know Enlightened Equipment does the little...
The slide-in?
The slide-in kind of things.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But I'm not feeling that either. To me, the snaps are the only thing that makes sense. But...
Yeah, I've just had bad experiences in the past, but I get what you're saying. You need some device that attaches it that's simple yet effective.
Yeah, that holds it down, but isn't difficult if you wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Because the big thing about things like Zenbivy and some of these other ones that do toggles, man, it's the middle of the night, man. I don't want to deal with some stupid toggle to get out of my sleeping bag. I don't even like dealing with a zipper.
No.
But if I could just be like snap, 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 and I'm out, that's easy.
Yes.
Because by the time I'm done using the bathroom, I'm awake enough to snap it back together.
That's true.
But when I first wake up, I'm not there.
Yeah.
So,
and not everybody's out there doing miles and stuff on the trail. Some people, I'm not saying about everybody, but some people out there partying a little bit, and they might have had a couple of adult beverages, and they wake up in the middle of the night, and they're still feeling it a little bit, And then they're trying to mess with the toggle.
That ain't happening.
And they had to pee so bad.
It's not happening.
Yeah, it's probably not the best situation.
It's just not happening. Yeah. But I do think if you could do that, that allows it to stay close. You don't have to worry about drafts and all that stuff. But at the same time, it makes it easy to get out of, because I think that's important.
Oh, yeah.
Easy in and
out.
Yeah, accessibility is big. Now, pillow.
Wait, one other thing on the quilt versus the sleeping bag. One thing I absolutely love, if it's not going to add too much weight, is some type of ventilation system on your sleeping bag. So, for example, I have the Nemo Disco.
Yeah.
And it's got two, like, maybe 20-inch long tiny zip areas that you can unzip, and then that undoes the baffles a little bit. So it brings a seam to the surface that wouldn't have seen any light of day, and lets you get rid of a little bit of the extra heat in there if you have to. And I think that right there, I don't know how much weight it would add, because like you said, zippers, they always add a little bit of weight. But if you could add that in, and another thing I hate about the quilts is like the snap behind your head.
Yeah.
If we could figure out something that would be a better design than that.
That's where I would think if you could have a snap that snaps to the side of the sleeping pad where the fabric is, holds it down for you.
Keep the drafts out, but not like cinch around your neck.
Where I'm not here, but I could snap it here.
Yeah, because it's always annoying.
I would love that. Yeah. And all I have to do is just pull right to the side of your head and you can unsnap it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be golden.
Okay, hit me with the pillow situation here.
The pillow's a hard one.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got their opinion. A lot of people like that Therm-a-Rest pillow with all the like foam pieces in it.
Mm-hmm. I like the Nemo Philo pillow.
And that's my favorite one so far.
The Aeros pillow by Sea to Summit's also very good.
Even the Trekology pillow.
Yeah.
Is decent, but there's not one that feels like an actual pillow.
I know, dude.
And the thing is, to get enough down feathers in a pillow to make it like a bed, like a pillow you sleep at home, it would weigh as much as a pillow at home by that point.
I met this guy that was a chiropractor on the long trail, and he was through hiking the Appalachian Trail. You know, we just happened to be at the same shelter, and it overlapped at the time.
Right.
And his luxury item, he had an actual pillow that you'd use on your bed, but it was like, I don't know, 25%, 35%.
Bryce Newbold does that.
It's like a small, real pillow.
Regular pillow. Bryce Newbold does that. If you guys ever watch Bryce Newbold's YouTube channel, he actually has, I think he has a pillow like that, like a My Pillow, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, but it's small.
Yeah, it's smaller.
But it's a real pillow. It's not like a fold up, like squeeze the air out pillow.
Because the Nemo Philo is 9 ounces.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to go 10. But I don't want to go much over 10 ounces.
No, it's too much.
For a pillow. But at the same time, I want to sleep. Yeah. And the thing I don't like about the Therm-a-Rest pillows that have the foam in them is they're great for like a week or two of use. And then they start compressing.
Yeah, I think your oils and stuff get in there.
Yeah. Too. And so you can wash them, but they don't ever come back to where they were, like where they started, at least for me. And I used one the entire time I was on Kilimanjaro, and I used it for some camping trips after that, and I used it a couple times on the Sheltowee, and it just, after the week in Kilimanjaro, it just never kept its loft the same way again. Yeah. And I bought a new one just to try it, and I still was like, this is not it. So for me, if there was a way where you could, and this is my thought process, if you're able to get something that has enough cushion around the outside that you don't have to do the whole thing with cushion, then you could pump it up between all of that.
Yeah.
So that there's air in between it, but on either side of it is something that feels more like a pillow.
Yeah. Why does all of them only have cushion on one side? I guess it's to save weight.
I guess, but it just, to me, that would be ideal. And if you could keep it to 10 ounces or less, to me, that would be perfect. That'd be the perfect pillow.
Yeah, I'd want less than 10 ounces because that's over half a pound. But you're going to have to make some sacrifices to get the perfect sleep.
I'll give up ounces for sleep. Because if I don't get any sleep, doesn't matter how many ounces anything weighs, because I'm going to be miserable the next day.
That's right. I'll add in one more thing about the sleep system, okay? One last thing is your pillow will sometimes slide off of your pad.
Yes.
So I love, if I'm using a sleeping bag with a hood, I love a compartment that I can stick the pillow into the sleeping bag at.
I agree
with a little
that.
Compartment that slides in the hood.
Or something that wraps around the pad.
Yes. So I need some way. Is that the rain again?
That's a hurricane.
Good Lord. Yeah, we're still here. We're still here at Mono's. And, man, I'm glad I'm not outside right now.
Amen.
But some way to keep the pillow from sliding away, whether it's a strap that straps around the pad, or if you're using a quilt, or whether it's a sleeve inside the hood, or some people, I think, well, I take that back. I was going to say they use their buff to attach it, but I think they just use their buff as like a
I know people
fabric.
Use their raincoats, and they'll wrap their raincoat around the pillow, and they'll just zip it up around the pillow and use the back of their raincoat on top of their pillow, but then you've got that fabric from the raincoat, which I can't imagine that's fun to sleep on.
No, like I'm wearing a rain jacket right now, and I don't know. That's kind of soft feel that.
Oh yeah, yeah. It feels like a pillow.
I still wouldn't want to. It's not like a pillow at home with the pillowcase.
No, but it feels like a plastic pillow you'd sleep on at camping.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
So with all that said, we've just now named for you the perfect sleep system. So, just like the last episode, leave a comment. Give us your perfect sleep system. What would it look like? What would the weights be? How much would you be willing to spend? Throw that out there. Let us know in the comments and leave us a voice message on our channel at backpackingpodcast.com so we could find out more about what you guys would like. And if we like your voice message, it might just make its way onto the episode.
Yeah, man. It's a fun little episode trying to figure out and decipher the perfect night's sleep. And
we're basically making everybody's lives better with this podcast.
Yeah, I do what I can to equal out the scales in life. I just want to make everybody's life great.
There's a lot of humility at this table right now.
We're humble.
So for myself and Jeremiah, we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, adios, folks.